Good morning. It's good to be back together. As was mentioned earlier, we pretty much had a full week without being together here, and it's good to be back amongst you. This morning I kind of got a surprise call, as Al did, and there may have been others, I don't know, but it's always good, I think, when we can help one another out as far as situations. And I know Craig's sick, or he would be sitting right back there, or be up here actually. It's good too, as brothers and sisters, take opportunities and do the best we can with them. And hopefully that's what will happen here this morning. I will admit, and I told Al prior to that, this is a repeat. So you may have heard this, you may not have. I'm not even sure exactly when I preached it here last. So that's kind of, but it was actually written in 2007, and I'm not sure I have preached it here since then. So some of you probably weren't around here in 2007. So more than likely, it may be new to several, but it is on missed opportunities. And I think it's kind of fitting this morning that's what we look at. One thing that was kind of nice, though, at least I had a little bit of notice. I was thinking after I talked to Craig that my father-in-law, who's an elder in a group in Salem area, actually out in the country, he, I think, has come to services before, and they have like rotating preachers. So, you know, every Sunday is a different person. They, for a long time, that wasn't the case. And the two men that preached there long term prior to that are no longer living. Both very good men, but now that is the case. And I know a couple times that he's mentioned, he's come in and he's had to just pick up his book and go up front and preach. So at least I had a little bit of time to prepare, and you know, that definitely is a good thing. So this morning, getting into the lesson before I get into it totally, I was kind of thinking that the start of this kind of made me think back when I was kind of courting a young lady, and she happens to be sitting there in the second row. This kind of starts off with the same type of tone, and I'm just glad that I was not put in the same situation as this person was in this story. But with that, we'll get started. There's a story of a young man who wished to marry a beautiful farmer's daughter. He went to the farmer to ask for permission first. The farmer looked him over and responded, "Son, go stand out in the field. I'm going to release three bulls, one at a time. If you can catch the tail of any one of those three, you can marry my daughter." The young man goes out into the pasture. He awaits the first bull. The barn door opens, and out runs the biggest, meanest-looking bull that you've ever seen. He decided that maybe one of the next bulls might be a better choice. So he ran over to the side, he let the bull pass through, it goes out the back gate. The barn door opens again. Unbelievable. He'd never seen anything so big and fierce in his entire life. It stood pawing at the ground, grunting, slobbering, and it's standing there eyeing him at that. Whatever the next bull was like, it had to be a better choice than this one. So he ran to the fence again, he let the bull pass through the pasture, and it goes out the back gate. The door opened the third time. A smile came across his face. This had to be the weakest, scrawniest little animal that he'd ever seen in his entire life. This one was his bull. As the bull came running by, he positioned himself just right, and he jumped at just the exact moment. He grabbed, but the bull had no tail. I think we all know life is full of opportunities. Some of those are easy. Some are easy to take advantage of. But some will be difficult. But once we let those opportunities pass, often, just like this story, thinking that there might be something better, those opportunities may be unavailable when we come back to them. The same thing is also true of opportunities to serve. And in this case, I'm talking about serving Christ. God often opens doors for us. Opportunities to speak up for Him, opportunities to minister to someone who's hurting or maybe in need, opportunities to make an influence on the people in the world around us. If we allow them to pass by, perhaps because we're waiting for something easier to come along, we may miss out altogether. I think this story illustrates a parable of our Lord that I want to take a look at this morning. I thought about letting Zach read this, but as I mentioned to Julie, I think this is the shorter of the two lessons that I picked out for this Sunday. I'm assuming Craig won't be here this evening. He would let me know. I'm sure if he wasn't. But anyway, this is the shorter of the two. But I'll just go ahead and read this passage myself this morning. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 25, and a very familiar passage to us, starting in verse 14. We'll go ahead and read through verse 30. Of course, this is the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not heard seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Think here in these verses, we see this illustration of the expectations that Jesus Christ has for each one of us. So as we focus on this parable this morning, I want us to all examine our lives to see if we're like the 1 talent man that's mentioned here. The first point that I want to make is to notice that all three men here had talents. The scripture says in verse 15 that each received according to his own ability. They were only asked to do what they could with what they had, or with what they were given. You see, the Lord never expects us as individuals to accomplish the impossible, but he does expect us to use our material blessings, our abilities, and our opportunities to enhance his kingdom. It's all about using what we have ourselves for him. What many fail to see about this one talent man was that he accepted the master's money. The master didn't tie a rope around him and force him to take it. The man willingly accepted this one talent. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ, we are in essence accepting his offer of blessings and opportunities. We then, when we accept these things, must take responsibility for them and use them in our lives wisely. This is where the one talent man failed. All of us, when we become Christians, are given at least one talent. At the very least, we're entrusted with the saving of our own, souls. And we take responsibility for that. The least then that you can do is be faithful to the Lord. And by doing this, you're automatically using that one talent to increase your ability in the Lord's service. And that was the passage, goes along with the passage in 1 Timothy 16 that Zach read for us this morning. The second thing to note about this one talent man is that he had enough money. Here in this parable, I mean, he didn't need what he was given to survive. And I think we all know that God supplies us all, each and every one of us, with what we need in our lives to live. So with that, let's look at another passage, this one in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. I think that goes along with the thought. Says there, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." So therefore, when this man took responsibility of this additional talent that was given to him, the master expected something from him. He expected him to use that. But we know from the scriptures that he didn't. Therein, this is why the one talent man was rebuked. Verse 18 tells us that he hid what the Lord had given him. How much buried talent is there in this group right here that's gathered together right now in this church group that meets here? What talents, too, looking back at myself, am I hiding that I should be using to help influence those around me? Is it our influence as far as our time, or maybe even our ability to organize others? Is it our money? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. A working church is not just a few people or a few families working together. It's the whole group working together to help each one of us grow and to reach out to those around us that are lost. It's impossible to reach out to the lost if we're not growing ourselves as individuals. Paul gave us a warning about that failure in that regard to thrive back in Hebrews in chapter 5. Turn back there with me. Starting in verse 12, it reads, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And finally, the final thought this morning that I want us to notice about this parable is that this one talent man goes as far as to blame the master. He said there in Matthew 25, I was afraid. He made excuses right up to his own judgment. The master here didn't accept those excuses from this one talent man. So I think we can see that it won't work to blame others for failing to accept the responsibilities that we've taken upon ourselves and the opportunities that come along with that. I'm sure that we've all heard the saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. With this man, by failing to use this one talent and by hiding it, he was found unworthy and he lost it. Are you about to lose the talent God has given each one of us? God doesn't expect the impossible, as I mentioned earlier, from any of us. He's only expecting us to be durable, to keep going. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not grow while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't hide your talents. None of us really want to be considered useless as this one talent man was. And as we saw in verse 26, we certainly would not want our reward to go to someone else. So this morning, think about each one of your talents, and I'll do the same. Are we using what God has given us? We can definitely see how God feels. If we're not on track, we need to get things right in our lives. And the best time to do that is right now, this morning. So if you have a need, whether it's to be baptized or you just have a need as far as the prayers of the congregation here, that's what we're here for, is to help one another. So if any of these things apply, then we ask that you would come forward as Jonathan leads us in the invitation song.